getting into hour number two of this edition of the Hagmann Report. We got a fantastic rest of the show for you. Carl Gallops will be our guest. Pastor Carl Gallops has been on our show a number of times before. He is the author of several fantastic books, and he's going to talk about his latest book, Gods and Thrones, tonight when he comes on. That's going to be coming out in just a few weeks, I believe. And folks, don't forget about WND, WorldNet Daily, WorldNet Daily Superstore. For any books, use promo code Hagmann. And he'll be joining us in just a few moments. Again, we mentioned that North Korea launched another missile, and the distance has said that maybe if it was aimed at Guam, it could have reached Guam. And I'm reading conflicting stories here. I haven't found a good source for this, but we will get to the bottom of this. Either way, the rhetoric continues to be increased. The U.S. UN issued heavy sanctions against North Korea just earlier in this week, I believe it was, or later last week. And many believe that the tests were going to continue. We also have South Korea asking the U.S. for nuclear weapons, which is something that they would not do before. They also didn't even want the THAAD missile defense system on their border to shoot down any missiles that would come their way from North Korea, but they earlier this summer turned around and installed it, adding another notch of aggravation to North Korea. So this situation will be reported on, and if it's just another missile test and it wasn't shot at any one country specifically, it looks like this conflict will just keep continuing to roll forward until I believe North Korea actually shoots at a country, whether that be the U.S. or another nation. But that's probably what will happen if I had to break it down to that. I don't see the U.S. taking any kind of preemptive strike unless they can get North Korea to do something. This is going to continue to move at the pace that we see it moving at now.
Well, you know, Joe, there's long been that sort of geopolitical conundrum when you're dealing with Asia, and we dealt with this in Vietnam, where we had to ask ourselves this question. And this goes back to what I asked Dark Journalist about the spirit of America, the spirit of our country today. Are we prepared to be the second nation to use a nuclear missile in battle, in war, against another Asian country? And that does play into the overall story writ large. But Joe, before we bring Carl Gallops on, and I'm so excited we've got him this evening, I wanted to ask you the final question that we asked Dark Journalist. If you had to guess, you know, I mean, you're a major news hound, if the wall or tax reform or neither by Christmas?
Well, now, if I had to guess, I'm going to be guessing based on my own hopes, which would be tax reform before Christmas. Absolutely, I think he needs to get that done. That's a promise he made. You know, the wall is a promise also, but I guarantee if the Americans had a say in the matter, they would, instead of having to pony up however many billions of dollars to accomplish building the wall, it'd be nice to see a tax deal go through that puts money back in the Americans' pockets first before they use the money to go build the wall. So me being hopeful says taxes and tax reform, and at the very least tax cuts. I mean, I'm sure, seeing the money that rolls out of our checks every week, I know there's room for it, folks. It's crazy, and I know you guys out there listening are all in the same position. And like I said, that's just me wishful thinking. But Daniel made a great point that if Trump does a deal, an immigration deal with Democrats, that it might get Republicans on board to do a deal with the taxes. Now, I think that's also wishful thinking, too. And it's a strategy, at least, and it might work. At the same time, it might backfire.
Well, it's a bold strategy, and that's one of the things I like about Dark Journalist. We've been blessed to get to know Daniel over the past year or so. I think it's been about a year since we brought him on the first time. Trump is a deal maker, and Trump is Trump's own man, for sure. If you doubt me, read his Twitter feed. I miss candidate Trump. That's a whole another conversation for another segment. But Joe, you make an excellent point reiterating what Dark Journalist said. Trump will do what Trump has to do. He's not going to remain in some sort of neutral paralysis for a 4-year term in the White House.
No, you're exactly right. We have our next guest with us. He is Pastor Carl Gallups and much more author. He's got his new book coming out, Gods and Thrones, Nikesh Forgotten Prophecy and the Return of the Elohim. Mr. Gallups, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be with you guys. Long time no see.
It's great to have you. I believe this is the first time we got you on video. The last few times that you came on were audio only, so it's nice to see you there.
Yeah.
Look great, sounds great, everything ready to rock and roll. And John's here with us. I know you spoke with him. He's guest hosting. My dad's going to Branson, Missouri for the True Legends Conference. So it's me and John with you tonight.
All right, good. Carl Gallups.
So good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. It's good to be with you and Joe, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it's great to see you too. Now we have you, and praise God, we have you for a full 2 hours this evening, folks. Our guest is Carl Gallups. Go to carlgallups.com. Also, we want to make a special thanks to WorldNet Daily, our partners at WorldNet Daily, bookmark worldnetdaily.com, WND.com. And you can find any of Carl Gallup's books, many of which we will speak about tonight, at the WND Superstore. Simply click on the banner at the top of HagmanReport.com or go to WND Superstore. Select the books that are of interest to you, and be sure to use the promo code Hagman. We have that partnership with WorldNet Daily, and that not only blesses Carl Gallups and keeps his ministry and investigative research thriving, but it keeps the lights on here at the Hagman Report too. So, Carl, thank you for letting me take that moment of time. I want to start with a question to you, sir, that I've been pondering myself and asking our guests over the past 2 days, and it goes something like this. Here we see we are halfway through the first year of the presidency of Donald J. Trump, and praise God he's president. We know that 62 million people, give or take, voted for President Trump. He flipped five states for sure. It was a miracle. And we know, Pastor Gallups, that a lot of the motivation behind those 62 million votes was the things that these people did not like about the country, do not like about the country, do not like about society at this time, and did not like about the 8 years of the Obama presidency. My question out of the gate for you tonight, Carl Gallups, is, do these 62 million Americans know what they do want for the country? And the secondary, I guess, larger question is, what is your take on the spiritual health of America today? What is your feeling about the 62 million who voted President Trump in today?
Okay. Well, listen, those are two completely, well, separate questions, but very good. Thank you for asking me. Let me say this as a way of disclaimer, and probably most of your audience knows this, but I was asked by the Trump campaign to open his Florida rally in Pensacola, Florida, during the primary season. I was honored to do that. The stadium was packed out. It was an arena. And I opened it with prayer for the nation and for Donald Trump. Shortly thereafter, I endorsed him publicly in mainstream media, international media. I was featured on Fox News as one of the, influential of, evangelicals in the nation who was coming out openly endorsing Trump. So I wanted to give that disclaimer. I have endorsed him almost from the beginning, even during the primaries. Now, please know, as I answer this question about the 62 million and then the spiritual condition, I have never believed that Donald Trump was necessarily the savior of America. I don't think he has wings and a golden halo over his head either. We were talking about electing a commander in chief, a CEO of the nation. We were talking about electing somebody who was speaking the language that 62 million people were speaking. And this kind of goes to answering your first question. What are these 62 million? What are they looking for? What are they thinking? What do they want? I think they wanted what Donald Trump was saying. And, I mean, the basics of it, we're going to build a wall, we're going to protect our borders, we're going to respect our borders, we're going to respect our immigration laws, otherwise we are not a nation, otherwise ISIS will destroy us, as they bragged with their Trojan horse scenario. They wanted that. They wanted a strong military. They wanted a strong relationship with Israel. They wanted a stronger economy through lower taxes and attracting businesses. And the bottom line is, you know, most Americans don't want the rich to be taxed out of existence, because I don't know about you guys, I've never worked for a poor man in my life. You know, if people are going to build businesses and hire employees, they're going to have money. Poor people don't do that. So if you tax them out of existence, then you're hurting the whole nation. Well, anyway, those things of his platform. Plus, guys, John and Joe, I do believe that 62 million people were also saying, oh my gosh, we don't want Hillary Clinton and another 8 years of Obama on steroids. And that's what she was promising. She didn't use those words, but her platform surely was indicative of that. And even the others that were in the running, so many of them were turning out to be, they started as white horses, but they wound up being dark horses as it kept moving, because they were turning out to be exposed as establishment, politicians, the elite. And I'm not going to name names now, because everybody had people in their camp. They were favorites, and I'm not trying to divide your audience into some fight. But I mean, there were some people that started off that I was looking at saying, yeah, that guy looks really, really good. But as it went on, and as they talked, and as I watched how they handled themselves in the face of adversity and, you know, in challenge in the debates, I said, oh my gosh, man, we've got to have, you know, a man, a real man. And when I say a man, I'm not saying a woman's not qualified. I'm just saying we've got to have some strong leadership of the people that were up there. We can't have this Washington elitism. We can't have this status quo establishmentism. It's already killing us. I was deeply involved in the whole Obama identity fraud investigation, Sheriff Arpaio. I was deputized by him. Mike Zullo, we did a several hour interview here. So I have held Congress in contempt for 8 years. They're complicit in that whole travesty that has been leveled upon our nation. And I didn't want more of that. And I think millions of people would agree with me on that, that that's why they voted for Donald Trump, because they were hoping and looking for somebody who would be different, would not necessarily be anti-establishment, but just wouldn't be establishment prone. So that's what I think they were looking for. Now, you know, out of those 62 million, and of course I can't speak for them all, every single one would have different views and different agendas. There would be some people that would say, well, when it came down to the general election, it was between Hillary Clinton / Barack Obama. That's what it would have been. Or Donald Trump and Mike Pence. So I voted for Trump. And some would say the lesser of two evils. So they're all kind of dynamics, guys. But I think the bulk of that 62 million would have fits pretty neatly into the box I just painted. And that is, they were looking for stronger borders, Americana, rule of law, a good Supreme Court, federal court appointees, a stronger military, a stronger economy, somehow doing away or reconstructing this devastating Obamacare, better relationships with Israel, a stronger presence in the world, and a leader who would make some decisions, who would be decisive, and who would be strong. Does that make sense so far before we get to the spiritual condition of America?
Amen and amen. You know, one word resonates with everything you just shared with us, Pastor Carl Gallops, and that is strength. 62 yeah. million Americans wanted and continue to want strength.
Yes.
Now,
yes. Well,
that second part of it, that second question, that's what I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on.
Okay. Yeah. And just wrapping up the first, and it'll segue in.
Sure.
And that's the thing, the thing, strength, and that comes to the spiritual condition as well. You know, that brought up this whole topic. You know, people were saying, yeah, but Trump, you know, in his past, he's a womanizer, and listen to his language and all that. Listen, I don't condone any of that. I don't live like that. But, you know, I'm a pastor for 30 years of one church on the Gulf Coast, preacher, teacher, author. I'm on TV, radios, proclaiming the word of God. I do missions all over the world. So I'm all in. I mean, I'm for real. Prior to that, I was still a Christian and very for real, but I spent 10 years in Florida law enforcement. So 40 years of my life dealing with making decisions, standing in positions of strength, not bully strength, but just strength and leadership. And I respect that. I admire that. I think most Americans do. And so, you know, I think that's, as you said, the one word thing that people were looking at Donald Trump. Again, here's the illustration I kept using, and this goes to the spiritual condition. People were saying, how can you vote for this man? And I said, what choices do we have? Some people were saying, well, don't vote at all. And I said, well, then you are voting for Hillary Clinton at the time. That's what you're doing. You know, the bottom line is when we woke up that November 9th, that morning, one of those people was going to be the president. And, you know, even now, when Trump makes what I consider to be bad decisions, you know, because I am the determiner of all things perfect, right? But here's what I do when I see him do something or say something that I don't like or I don't agree with, and he has, and he will continue to. But here's what I say. It could have been Hillary Clinton. You know, yep. I mean, it could have been Hillary Clinton because it was going to be one of those two. So the bottom line is we were electing a CEO of our economy. We were electing a commander in chief. We were working the top exec. I mean, we were electing the top executive officer who would appoint judges and sign executive orders. We need a man of strength. When I was a deputy sheriff, I wanted to work for a sheriff. I would much rather work for a sheriff who had no Christian faith, but was a strong leader, did the right thing, observed the rule of law, protected his deputies, than to work for a guy who claimed to be a Christian, but was mealy mouth and mamsy pamsy and, you know, rocked and rolled and didn't support and, you know, and you understand what I'm saying, guys? Of course I would much prefer to have a sheriff or a president to be as godly as possible, to be just like me. I would rather have that. But we're not electing a priest. We weren't electing a deacon in my church. We weren't electing a Sunday school teacher. We were electing a commander in chief, the leader of our nation. Now, so that goes to the spiritual nature, the spiritual condition of our nation. Listen, guys, you know, I've got a very pessimistic side of me in all of this, and I have a very optimistic side. And let me explain. I'm not trying to walk the fence. This is just my answer. I am deeply aware. I've written about this. I've preached and taught this. I've done conferences. I've spoken for hours on this topic. I will only speak for a few minutes, so don't worry. But here's the deal. Here's where we are spiritually. About 100 years ago, our nation turned a corner that has devastated us culturally and spiritually. About 100 years ago, we collectively, as a nation, through the what's known as the Scopes Monkey Trial, we decided that we were going to teach generation after generation after generation, from elementary school through graduate school and postgraduate school and beyond. We decided collectively that we were going to teach our children that there is no God, that we are nothing more than the result of an accidental chemical sludge pond slime pit that resulted from an accidental explosion that randomly happened with no intelligent input billions of years ago. And mm-hmm. We decided to start teaching that. And that became the foundational truth of our educational system, of our scientific community, of much of our government. And from that, you had to have that foundation before you could get into the 60s full-fledged drug and sex revolution, before you could get into the 70s Roe v. Wade and say, well, you know what? There's no God. There's no accountability. It's all about me. It's all about my convenience. And listen, I don't want to get into the 2% for rape and incest and all. I get that. But I'm talking about 98% of all abortions are conducted for pure convenience. Those are the statistics. But you couldn't do that. We wouldn't dream of legalizing that and reaching into a woman's womb, pulling out a baby, cutting it up, putting it in a trash can. We wouldn't have dreamed of that prior to 100 years ago. Oh, those things were happening in back alleys and stuff. But as far as the nation legalizing it and embracing it and creating a Holocaust of 60 to 70 million of our own children that have died. And listen, those 60 or 70 million would have married each other in those generations. So we've eliminated, you know, I don't, 150 million or more of our own citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It's no wonder we have to open our borders. It's no wonder we depend upon illegals to maintain us. I mean, we're like the Roman Empire. We're rotting to the core. So you got all of that. And then on the heels of that comes sexual degradation, sexual perversion. Then the largest Christian nation the planet has ever seen in 2015, the Supreme Court said, we don't even know what a marriage is anymore. I mean, do you see the pattern? It starts with, we're nothing more than animals. We came from monkeys accidentally, to everything else that's happened right up to where we are, to electing people in office from the White House on down, and the, you know, with no morals. We excused their morals. Bill Clinton in the White House doing the things he did. We excused him. We laughed at it. Some people even celebrated what he was doing. I mean, on and on it goes till we finally wind up with a guy named Barack Hussein Obama, who we elect as president. He goes on an American apology tour. He opens our borders, transforms our economy by taking 16% of it and turning it over to the government, our whole medical industry. And on it goes, spits in the face of Israel. And pushes and promotes the gay agenda, the transgender agenda, the gay marriage agenda. Then from there, pushes and promotes opening bathrooms and showers from one gender to the other. I mean, it just was becoming complete insanity. We're still reeling from that, guys. So that's the pessimistic part of it. We've brought this on ourselves. In 1973, when we passed Roe v. Wade, and we said you can reach in a mother's womb and pull out a child and throw it in a trash can, and if and that same year we passed the National Endangered Species Act. The same year we said if you step on a turtle egg, we'll put you in prison. If you touch an eagle's nest, we will put you in prison. But if you reach in a woman's womb and pull out a human child and throw it in a trash can after you've burned it to death with saline solution, we will celebrate it, we will finance it, and we will put you in jail if you stand outside the abortion clinic and pray with people. We lost our minds, guys, and here we are. We're paying the price of it right now. And I'm telling you, the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they are telling us that they are tracking ISIS cells in all 50 states of the United States. We're in a mess. Now, Donald Trump has inherited all of this. I don't think he's our savior. He can't get Republicans to work with him. He hadn't been getting Democrats to work with him. Now he's gone over to some Democrats. He's just looking for anybody that'll work with him. He's like Obama. He's got a pen and a phone. He can do executive orders, but he also knows just as quickly as he undid a lot of Obama's executive orders, his can be done the same way. He's trying to get some things done. He's trying to build the wall. He's trying to do something about Obamacare. He's trying to rebuild the military. He's got military officials, Obama holdovers, who are fighting him, wanting our military to be filled with transgenders. And Donald Trump is saying, you know, we've got to have a military that's ready to kill, maim, and destroy and win wars. We can't be using it as a social experiment mechanism. This is going to destroy us. But we've got politicians who are so anxious to line their own pockets with special interest money and want to be politically correct and loved by everybody. I mean, this is what Donald Trump is up against. Plus, guys, he's up against this globalist movement, this demonic movement. The Bible says, and I don't want to be a preacher, you know, I don't want to be preaching all night long here, but the Bible says that's the spirit of Antichrist. There is going to come a generation that's going to see a one world government, a one world marking system. The technology is already out there. They're already doing it and talking about it and bragging about it. United Nations Agenda 2030, they brag in a couple of paragraphs in that. I've got it documented in my book, When the Lion Roars. They brag about how by the year 2030, they're going to have every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet marked biometrically, etc. So he's up against that. Brexit happened just before he went in. The European Union, their heads exploded. They didn't think that was going to happen. That was kind of the model for this upcoming one world government, the Antichrist system, we know it as. Donald Trump, we had the whole Trump effect. He wasn't supposed to win that election. Who is Donald Trump? He's a great guy. He's a billionaire, construction engineer. But who is he? He's not a politician. He's never been a senator, a congressman, a governor, nothing. And yet he beats the whole field and rises to the top. And now he's the most powerful man on the planet with a pen and a phone and appointing federal judges, changing the face of America. He could, and setting the globalists back by 50 years. And they know that. But the spiritual thing, John, you asked me, the good part of it is, I prayed, and so many of us Americans and many Christians prayed during that election, Lord, we know Donald Trump's not perfect, but could you put him in and not Hillary Clinton so we could at least, we Christians, could at least have some breathing room? Hillary Clinton spoke against all things Christian for the longest. Donald Trump was saying, I'm a friend to the church. I'm a friend to the Christians. And there are some who say that he has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and is born again. We'll see. Time will tell. But they're saying that. No one's saying that about Hillary Clinton. No one is saying that she surrounds herself with pastors that pray over her. So that's what we were praying for. And I believe God answered that prayer. It's kind of like the prayer of Abraham over Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said, you know, Abraham, I would. Caveat, if there were 50 righteous people. Abraham said, how about 40? I would. And it went right on down to 10. There weren't even 10 righteous people left. So God destroyed it. Well, we're blessed. We've got 10, maybe, in America.
Yeah.
maybe 10 million, I hope, out of 350 million. I hope we've got 10 million born-again, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, church-going, serious-minded Christians. I hope. But we ask God to give us a reprieve, and He has. So I'm doing my best. I'm trying to do two things with my life, guys. My prime goal in life is to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm unashamed of it. I make no bones about it. I don't apologize for it. I don't water down my message just because I've been on secular media. And, you know, I never water my message down. I say the same things to them I'm saying to you. So that's my first priority. My second priority, and I think it's connected, is to try to preserve the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America by being involved, by being the salt, by being the light, by not being afraid to get involved in politics. It doesn't mean I'm going to run for office or that I'm out there waving a flag saying some politician's the savior of America. It just means I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to vote. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to try to direct some spiritual principles during these elections. We'll never have a perfect candidate unless I run or you two guys run, other than the three of us running. You know, and I'm being funny, of course, but there's never going to be a perfect candidate until the Lord Jesus comes. King Jesus, President Jesus will be on the world's throne one day. But in the meantime, those two priorities. Now, why do I put so much priority on preserving the Constitutional Republic of the United States? Because it's the best thing the world has ever seen. And it's the best thing for Christians the world has ever had since the birth of Christianity. If America goes away, we're in for a world of hurt, guys. I don't want my kids and grandkids growing up in the underground church or having their heads cut off or being put in prison and tortured to death because they are believers in Jesus Christ. If we can preserve this Constitutional Republic and our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, and all the others, the Bill of Rights especially, we can at least endure, we can survive, and we can take the gospel to the world until Jesus comes. So that's my assessment. You guys were very gracious to let me talk that long. Thanks. You know, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher, man. Don't ask me a question and tell me to answer it in 3 minutes.
Oh, hey, you preach it, Brother Carl. Joe?
Yeah, Carl, you have free range to talk as much as you like. I want to switch gears here and kind of get into your new book that's coming out on October 1st that can be pre-ordered, folks. That is called Gods and Thrones. Can you tell us a little bit about this book or what led you to write it? And then we have a few questions about your book, and then we can tie the book into current events. But I want to make sure we get into this tonight because it looks like a fantastic book. I can't wait to read it. I love reading books on prophecy. And before the show, we listened to the interview that Josh Peck posted today, the interview that you just did with him recently about this book. So, and that was fascinating to listen to.
Yeah, thank you. I've done two interviews with him. that have been posted. There's another one just before the one you saw today. There was another one that it's called The Return of the Elohim. If you like the one you saw today, you really need to watch that one too.
Okay.
Yeah, those are pre-recorded. And then I've done a lot of shows with Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis and Dr. Tom Horn and myself about my book and their two books. They all kind of fit together, almost like a little trilogy, if you will. But I am so excited about Gods and Thrones, guys. This will be my sixth book. I've been very blessed. The five before it have all been, you know, blockbuster bestsellers, and all praise to Jesus. It's not me. If it wasn't for good editors, nobody would buy anything I write. But I mean, I've got good ideas, and I have a lot of knowledge that God has given me. I don't think I'm a good writer, but people love my books, but it's because I have great editors. I'm just going to go ahead and be honest. I don't know that I've ever said that on national television before, but here we are. You know, it's a lot easier to go around saying, yes, aren't I a good writer? But anyway, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. But I just put my thoughts on paper, I turn it over to the editors, and they make me look smart. But the bottom line is, guys, I'm pumped about this book. Let me tell you a little bit of what's happened already, and then I'll get into what it's about. This book, yes, originally the publishers had the release date, the official release date, October 1st. I think it's now October 15th.
Yeah, that's what Amazon says is the 15th.
Yeah, and I think it's because the demand is out of this world, and I think it kind of took everybody by surprise because they put it on Amazon, and I was given the release date of October 1st by the publishers, and the deal is that release date, that's the date it will be available in bookstores. But the Amazon phenomenon is kind of cool because, you know, the publishers, once the book is out and it's in print and it's all been edited in its final state, they start shipping to Amazon. And, of course, they get the website built and put it all up there. Well, the cool thing about Amazon, they do two amazing things. And that is, number one, they let you pre-order. And if enough orders come in, and believe me, they have, and I'll tell you the numbers in just a moment. I'm not going to tell you how many books have been ordered, but I'm going to tell you something about the numbers on Amazon. When enough orders come in, they start shipping early. And it doesn't matter. They don't have to hold to the release date. It's something about the contract with Amazon. So that's really cool. So I tell people, yeah, the release date's October 15th, but if you want it a couple of weeks early, just go order it on Amazon now. And they'll ship it. I'm a big reader, and I often order books from other authors that are, you know, months before the release date, and I always get them early. So I like that. The second thing Amazon does is they guarantee you the lowest price. So if you buy my book and maybe it's, I don't know what it's listed. Let's say it's listed at $15, but by the day that it all starts shipping, it's down to $12. And they'll do that. They'll play with the prices for marketing. Then you get it for $12 and not for the $15 on the day you ordered it. So that's really cool. But let me just tell you, a month before the official release date, more than a month, the book went to number 400. Out of all 17 million books on Amazon. And we hadn't even done any media yet. And on top of that, it went to number one bestseller in three categories on Amazon, number one in new releases in three categories on Amazon. And this was a month before it's even released. And so people are talking about it, and they were watching some of these interviews, and they're seeing some of this stuff. And so, man, I praise God for that. But one of the most exciting things that's happened to me, and he hasn't given me permission to use his name yet. I think he would, but I haven't asked him. But he called me, one of my pre-readers, and I sent it out to about 10, 15 guys that are authors and you know, and theologians, and I just sent it to them and said, hey, look, read it. Am I off base? What do you think? Yeah, give me some feedback. I got great positive feedback from everybody, but this one guy called me 2 days ago. He said, look, please forgive me. It took me a while to get around to reading it because I was so busy, and he told me his life. And I said, I'm honored that you even read it at all. But he said, I did. He said, as a matter of fact, when I started reading it, he said, he said, this is cliche-ish, but he said, I could not put it down. I did not put it down. I read it in a day, and it's like 300 and something pages, but there's 36 chapters, but the chapters average 7 pages a chapter. So it's, you know, but he said, I read it in a day. And he said, Carl, let me just tell you, and I know this guy. And he said, you know, I am not a teary-eyed guy. I'm not emotional. You know that. This guy's just much of a stoic kind of man. And he says, when I read that last sentence and closed the book, he said, tears welled up in my eyes. He says, I told myself I will never be the same. And he called me and he says, Carl, I will never read the Bible the same.
Wow.
He said, I have made recommitments of my life. He said, I have been so moved. Some areas of my life, I've been convicted. He says, this is going to change the lives of millions of Christians, much less people that don't know the Lord. He said, I've never been so moved by a Christian book in my life. I said, oh my gosh. I was overwhelmed. I said, I give God all the glory for that. And I said, but I told him, I said, I'm going to give you a secret. When I wrote the book, it changed my life because I had to research it. And I do. I use 36 scholarly commentaries, 4 or 5 scholarly biblical dictionaries and encyclopedias, Hebrew and Greek word studies, masters and doctoral theses that have been peer reviewed. All of this secular, encyclopedic information, mainstream media stuff. I use all of this for my resources. There's no back channel conspiracy sites, nothing like that. It's just all good, solid, scholarly stuff to make my case from beginning to end. And by the time you get to the end, I think it's going to rock your world. It's called Gods and Thrones. You've allowed me to talk a long time.
Well, folks, I'll tell you what, for those just joining us or who joined us late, we are so blessed to just be hanging out tonight, spending some time with a good friend and a long-term friend of the Hagman Report, Pastor Carl Gallups. And his new book, you heard it firsthand, and I like the fact that there was so much energy in your remarks, and yet there was still a humble heart there as well. Folks, the book is Gods and Thrones. It drops here in just a couple of weeks, October 15th. Now, Pastor Carl, you may or may not be aware of this. We are working daily with Michael Thompson over at WorldNet Daily. And Michael, if you're listening to the show tonight, God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for what you do for us.
Michael's a dear friend of mine, and he does love you guys, and he does listen. So I hope
that
he is
feeling, that feeling is so mutual. We reciprocate that sentiment 100%. And he's been such a blessing to this show. You know, Pastor Carl, you may recall, I come from Hollywood, and so I come from the traditional media machine and spent 16 years there. And when you meet someone like a Michael Thompson, it may take a month or two or six, but the other shoe will drop. Well, we've been working with Michael Thompson and WorldNet Daily for over a year now, to one degree or another, and he stands as a genuine, just amazing human being who has helped us raise the level of guests on the Hagman Report to heights we did not even imagine for ourselves. And and part of what he's done for us, Pastor Carl, is bring us into the affiliated partnership with the WND Superstore. So I just want to remind folks that all of Pastor Carl's titles are available at the WND Superstore. Simply click on the banner at the top of Hagman Report, and that'll take you right there. Or read tonight's show notes, and it's obvious where we've linked the books, and you can go ahead and get to the WND Superstore that way as well. But please be sure to use the promo code Hagman, because this is really a win-win. It's an opportunity for Pastor Carl to be blessed, for WorldNet Daily to make a little bit of money, and for the Hagman Report to make much-needed resources. You know, Pastor Carl, we have, over the past year, increased our guests by about 300%, and we've increased our original content from 15 hours per week, that being the 5 nights of the 3-hour program, to 25 hours of original content a week, because Doug Hagman launched a real kind of meat and potatoes investigative. It's like it's almost got that feeling of a 1970s, you know, crime detective kind of thing. Yeah, the Doug Hagman Show, and you can catch that in the mornings, 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio, Global Star Radio, etc. And then Joe and I, Pastor Carl, just to bring you up to speed on what we've been up to, we launched the Hagman Daily Show, and it's a completely different thing. It's more conversant. It's really our effort to just hang out with our friends and the people that we've come to love over the 6 years we've been doing this show. Right. Of course, we use the news as a springboard, but we really want to get into topics, many of which I suspect we're going to touch on tonight as we go through your book. Because I don't want to wax too spiritual here, but I see us at perhaps the most important crossroads since we whooped the Redcoats and founded our country.
I agree.
And Pastor Carl, as I listen to you speak about this amazing buildup of excitement and anticipation for your new book, Gods and Thrones, I wonder, Pastor Carl, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? What is it that's inside of people buzzing around in them that are leading them to want to get their hands on this book and get this information?
Well, first of all, we're living in the most prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. I can speak about that for hours. I can prove that remark. I know that's a sensational remark. My last book, When the Lion Roars, it proves it. But we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And listen to me, guys. Billions of people around the world, whether they know the Bible, read the Bible, or believe the Bible or not, they know that what I'm saying is true. They know that something's happening. They know this world isn't right. They know something's getting ready to snap. And people want to know what it is and why it is and their place in it. Again, that's why I wrote When the Lion Roars. But this new book, Gods and Thrones, I think one of the reasons it's becoming so popular is because so many people have read my other books, and particularly When the Lion Roars, WND books, and it got so many questions answered. Well, Gods and Thrones is When the Lion Roars on steroids, and we can get into the details later if you like, and I would really love to do that. But it not only tells you what's happening in the world, but why it's happening and why it's happening now and what that means. And then it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, goes all the way through to the Book of Revelation, ties it all together and shows you why we're in the predicament we're in, and is nastier than anybody can imagine, nastier than anybody would think. Spiritual warfare, you know, Gods and Thrones, and I'll tell you what that title means in a moment, but, you know, people have asked me, is this just another book on spiritual warfare? And I said, well, you know, it's interesting. I went back and did a word search after I had written the book. The term spiritual warfare is never found in that book. You'll find the word spiritual and you'll find the word warfare, but spiritual warfare over and over. You won't find that in this book, Gods and Thrones. But I'm telling you, it is a book about spiritual warfare on steroids. And it helps the believer to understand spiritual warfare is not about, am I going to cuss today and I need to try to hold my tongue? Or, hey, I only had one bowl of ice cream instead of two. Boy, Satan was really tempting me, but I did some spiritual warfare. That's not what spiritual warfare is. Spiritual warfare is about the gods, little g, the Elohim, that's the Hebrew word for the divine council, the heavenly host. But there's a fallen segment of that divine council, a fallen segment that's under the control of the prince of the power of the air. And Revelation 12, verse 12 says, in those last days, that he is thrown down to the earth and he is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. In other words, it's getting close to the return of Jesus Christ. Throughout the scriptures and all through the book of Revelation, but even prior to that, even out of the mouth of Jesus, the scriptures speak of in the last days, there will be a demonic outpouring. That is among us. That's why billions of people are saying, oh my God, what is going on? Sex robots, killer robots, rape robots, child sex robots, pornography plague that's destroying homes and families and marriages and churches and civilizations, children and women being taken prisoner and captive and made sex slaves, and nations developing weapons out of robotics and AI and genetic splicing, genetic engineering, CRISPR-Cas9, transhumanism, and it's just all exploding right under our noses. A lot of that I just rattled off has only happened in the last handful of years. Some of it has only happened in the last few weeks. And then you got North Korea firing off nuclear bombs that create 6.8 earthquakes or I think it's even bigger than that. I don't remember now. But I mean, you know, and even today, one of the headlines of Drudge says, hey, we're at the edge of World War III. And these are not back channel conspiracy theorists and crazy preachers that are saying this. These are world leaders. These are military leaders. These are leaders of industry and leaders of world affairs that are saying, oh my gosh, we've seen World War One. We've seen World War Two. We saw how that happened. We're in the same pattern right now. We see it happening. Gods and Thrones explains it all. Starting at a theological level, again, I use 36 commentaries, all of these other things, scholarly works to lay my theological groundwork to show people. And it's not preachy. I mean, anybody sitting in a pew can understand this. And I'm not talking down to folks. I'm just saying I didn't write it at a doctoral level, dissertation level. I just wrote it where preachers can get it and preach it, where people on the pew can get it and read it and understand it and say, oh my gosh, I get it now. I get it. And after I lay the theological level, then I go right into the headlines and I show them. Now do you see what's really happening? And now do you understand it? Now do you get it? And then as I take them through the headlines, matching it to what the scripture said would happen, and we're the first generation to see these things, dozens of these things converging, then the last four chapters, very positive. And this is why the guy said, man, he said, when I closed the book, he said, I welled up into tears. He said, his words to me were, I could barely breathe. He said, because I knew my life would never be the same. I praise God for that, guys. I mean, I don't think I've ever written a book that somebody has said that about it. And I feel that same way about it. It's going to so rock your Bible believing world, in a good way, that it will change your life. I'm telling you guys, the stuff that's in this book, Gods and Thrones, I taught this in my church on a Sunday night teaching session for months. I don't know, a long time before I wrote the book. And my folks, I've been the pastor of that church for 31 years. I've taught all of this stuff for years, but I put it together in this format. I said, guys, come into the sanctuary on Sunday nights. I'm going to teach you this. And I started teaching it. And I had people that were Sunday school teachers, longtime students of the Word, come to me and say, we have never seen this before, but there it is, right there in the Scriptures. And it ties to this, and it ties to that, and it ties to that. I've never understood the Scriptures as well as I do now. So I'm hoping Gods and Thrones will do that for everybody that picks it up. That's what I wrote it for. The title comes from this understanding. The word gods with an S, of course the Bible doesn't teach that there's a pantheon of equally powerful gods. But the term comes from the Hebrew word Elohim. And I do a word study on that. Elohim is the first word we hear for God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. That's interesting, guys. It doesn't say in the beginning Yahweh created. It says in the beginning Elohim. Whenever you see a Hebrew word with the last letters I-M, that usually denotes the word to be plural. But hear me, in case people are panicking, saying, oh my gosh, are you going to tell me a bunch of gods made the world? No,
might be a few people panicking.
Yeah, no, that's not what it says. That's not what it means. It's like our word deer. If I said, look at that deer over there, all right? Well, I've said at that deer. Now we know I've used it singular. Or if I say, wow, look at those deer, okay? Those deer. Now I know I'm speaking of it plural, but the word's the same, deer. Same with buffalo. If I just holler, buffalo, what? Is it one buffalo you just saw, or a herd of buffalo coming down on us? You know, it depends on the context. Well, Elohim is that way. In the context of Genesis 1, it's obvious. We're talking one God, Yahweh, Elohim, capital E, created the heavens and the earth. But it's such a neat word, and it's a very controversial word. It's used 3,000 times in the Old Testament. The vast majority of the times it's used to speak of God himself, the ultimate Elohim. But it's also used a bunch of times, I forgot the percentage now, 10%, 15%, to speak of gods, little g. Synonyms for that would be angels, demons, the heavenly host, the divine council. What is the divine council? It's, well, when you're in Revelation chapter 4, John says, and I saw, what did he see? I saw God on his throne, the middle of the throne, Jesus. Around the throne, there were 12 other thrones. Around that, there were 10,000 times 10,000. But around before that, there were the four living creatures. And then there were 10,000 times 10,000. That's the divine realm, the divine council. Not that they're there to give God instructions or advice, but they are there as his witnesses. God has created what we call this upper family, this other dimension of heavenly beings. We call them heavenly, but it just means in a different dimension, a reality of dimension, of a created realm. And so gods and thrones, the thrust of the whole book is the fallen Elohim, the fallen gods, little g, the demonic realm. They are influencing the thrones of earth. Paul says that in Ephesians 6. There's that spiritual warfare. You know, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, authorities in high places. Why could Paul say that so definitively? Well, of course he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, he said in the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, I know a man that was caught up to third heaven, caught up to paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I know he was talking about himself. They would talk about themselves in third person like that. He said, but I do know this. He said he saw things that were inexpressible. And then he would later write, he said, let me tell you something. Your mind can't conceive. Your eye has never seen. Your ear has never heard what lies ahead for those of you that love the Lord. See, Paul had experienced it, guys, 30 years before John did. 30 years before John was caught up to paradise, he was taken into the presence of the throne room of God. Paul was. He wrote about this. John was taken in. Job understood. He talked about the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim. That's the Hebrew, B'nai, sons. Elohim, there you are, the sons of God. And coming, and Satan presenting himself before them and testing Job. You remember all of that. We know in four times in the scriptures, God describes himself with the host around him as us. Let us make a man. They have become as one of us now. Let us go down and see what's happened at the Tower of Babel. He says to Isaiah, who will go for us? I mean, God's, he doesn't exist in multiplicities of himself. He wasn't speaking of his Trinitarian nature, and most of the scholars agree with what I'm getting ready to say. The vast majority of the scholars do. He was speaking of the heavenly host. He was speaking of the divine council, the divine realm, the gods, little g. The problem is a whole slew of those rebelled and followed Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Jesus called him Beelzebub, the Lord of filth. And in the last days, Jesus said, and the Bible says, there will be an outpouring and they will begin to influence the kings of the earth. They will be the powers behind the thrones. And this world is going to go into a demonic outpouring like you have never seen. Guys, that's what it's all about. That's what the book is about. It's much deeper than that. It answers tons of questions. What really happened in the Garden of Eden? What really happened in Genesis 6-4 when the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, came unto the daughters of men? What was the result of all of that? How does that flow through and tie to the book of Revelation? How does that go into the headlines of our news, our science journals, our technology journals, our headline news? How does that flow into the Middle East? How does that flow into ISIS, Arab Spring, the collapse of borders, World War III? What's going on with our world? Gods and Thrones answers it. Plus, it tells Christians how to live with a heart and life and perspective of victory, even in the midst of it. Does all of that make sense?
Absolutely, Pastor. And I wish we had the book in front of us and were able to read it. And
you're
going to
have it soon.
Oh, well, we appreciate that. And I know we can't go too far into the book, as it's not even out yet, but I really do.
You can go about as far as you want, guys. I mean, I love you guys. I'll talk to you all about it.
Okay. Well,
if I get in trouble with the publishers, it's on me.
All right,
or it's on us, but either way, we love you, Pastor Carl. And what Joe and I would like to do with your permission, let's throw a few current events out there, and then would you be open to that? And then we'll sort of throw them your way, and you can use
sure.
Gods and Thrones to sort of catch the ball and send it back.
Sure, that sounds
that sound fun. Okay,
yeah,
let's do that.
And we got 2 minutes before the break.
Okay, thank you for telling me that.
So, we don't have to jump into it right this second because I want to make sure we'll start fresh on the other side. But let me ask you this, Pastor, if we can fit this in into 2 minutes. Everything we see with the political climate here in America, from political correctness to the political violence, all being justified, under the justification of them being on the morally right side, when actually we know, they're opposing things like free speech and the Constitution. And you mentioned earlier how, the Constitution, the founding document of this country, is so important, and how important it is to keep those laws that we have there, that we see that are being just dismantled by, in every way possible, just like we see God's laws, from gender to marriage and all everything he set up and established, is being now turned upside down and backwards, being dismantled to the point where a nuclear family is considered, some kind of terrible thing today, and non-inclusive, if you will. In the minute before the break, can you give us a brief summary of how you see the devil working through this political agenda we have today?
Yes, sir. I can talk about it for 3 hours, but I've got one minute. So here's my 1 minute answer. It was foretold. It is demonic. It is a part of the demonic outpouring. It's a part of the Antichrist one world globalist spirit that is among us. It is sweeping the world, and today's technology allows it. The ubiquitous presence of the internet and all these other technologies, the biogenics, the marking systems, all of this, the implanted chips, all of it with the internet, the demonic realm now has its own stage. It has the tool to rule the world, and we're watching it beginning to unfold before our eyes. It's been a long time in the coming. It didn't happen overnight, although it has exploded upon the scene almost overnight.
Fantastic. Folks, our guest is Pastor Carl Gallups. His website, carlgallups.com. Bookmark the site. There's so much that you can do there. You can read the blogs. You can read about his books. And folks, his book, Gods and Thrones, that's coming out on October 15th, is ranked right up there at the very top of Amazon. And we're going to get into his book and current events after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.